Welcome to Crossroad International Church, where it's all about Jesus. If you are in Kuwait and looking for a church to call home, we would love the opportunity to welcome you at one of our Friday services. Now, here is this week's message.
There are some different reasons that people give for not giving, and I just want to get the negative out of the way before I get into what God wants us to do. And one of the things that people says is, God does not need my money. How true that is. The truth is that God does not need our money, but we need to give because our giving is a reflection of our heart. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So our giving, we don't give because God needs it. We give because we want to obey the word of God and because our heart is toward God and we want to obey him. God does not personally need anything from us. There is nothing I can give to God to make God more God than he already is. God's going to be as God as he can ever be, whether I give a penny or not. I do it in obedience to his word and because I love him. See, this is a responsibility because how many of you know we didn't get this room today for free? We didn't get the 11th floor for the kids for free. Now, praise God, this hotel has tremendously blessed us. We actually pay less for two floors than most people pay for one of these small rooms. So every time you come in here and you see the great, well, there's not much of a view if you sit on that. If you want a good view, guys, come sit over here sometime. So when the preaching gets boring, you can look out the window and be entertained, okay? But when you look at this view out here and see the ocean and everything and the food they provide, it's not free. We have to pay for it. And God has given us, as the members of the body of Christ that come to this place, the responsibility to pay those bills. Pastor Dell and I used to talk a lot about this. You know, we have I would say 99% of our congregation cannot call this place a permanent home. We are from somewhere else. And most of you have a home church back home that you call home. Then when you go back home, that's where you attend. But we have a lot of people that do all of their giving back to the home church. And Dell and I used to give the illustration, it's like going to McDonald's and eating your Big Mac and fries and then sending payment to Burger King on the other side of town. No, we pay where we eat, okay? And that's kind of the concept. If this is your home while you're in Kuwait, this is where you should be giving. Another thing that people object or things that they say that they don't give is, I cannot afford it. My money runs out before the month runs out, so I can't afford to give to God. But the truth is, we can't afford not to give. Giving releases God's blessing, or it opens the windows of heaven. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12 talks about that. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? In the tithes and the offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now in here, God is talking about the nation of Israel, but the principle is that we do need to be givers, and we're going to talk about that a little later. I remember when I first got saved, I used to argue with God mathematically. God, I don't know where you went to school, but when I went to school, if 100% is not enough, 90% is even less. How many mathematicians we have? Well, you don't have to be very far in math to know if a dollar won't pay the bills and 90 cents won't pay them either. And God, your math doesn't work. But the only scripture here in Malachi that God says, prove me, is about giving. He said, prove me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings. And so I just obeyed God's word, and I've been proving him for the last 40-something years, and I still can't do the math. But God blesses us when we give. Another thing that people will argue why they don't give is I don't see the benefit. And the truth is, we don't give to get something in return. If that's why you give, keep your money in your pocket. Because that isn't the way that God wants us to give, to get something in return. But we do receive blessings when we give. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Faithfulness in money positions us for the true riches of God. I want to read Luke 16, 10 to 12. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or money, who will commit into your trust the true riches? And if you have been faithful or have not been faithful with what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? See, if we're wanting the true riches of God, we're wanting to be in ministry, we're wanting to bless people, we're wanting to minister people, we're wanting to reach out, we're wanting to really grow in the things of God. It says that God will not entrust to us his spiritual riches if we can't take care of earthly riches. It's a spiritual principle. And then the last one is people say, oh, I just forgot. I used to notice a lot of times in some of the churches in Africa when it came time for the offering, all of a sudden everybody's bladder was full. The truth is, we don't forget, we're just undisciplined in our giving. Giving must be a priority. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And then you need to give as you purpose in your heart. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We need to make it a priority. One of the things I do when I get paid is I count out my tithe first, put it in an envelope, stick it in my bag, so that when I come to church on Friday, that's the first thing I do is drop it in the offering box. I don't pay my bills. I don't pay my rent. I don't take out for food. I take out the tithe first because it's priority, because I've made God a priority. People ask this question, is tithing biblical? The answer is yes. Genesis chapter 14, we're not going to read it, verses 17 to 20. Abraham gave 20% of all of the spoil to Melchizedek. In the book of Leviticus, Numbers, Nehemiah, Malachi, it all talks about the tithe. The tithe was an Old Testament command of 10% of everything that we make. Then the next question is tithing a New Testament command? And I would say, not specifically. In other words, there's not a passage in the New Testament that talks about the 10% or the first tenth of everything like there is in the Old Testament. Neither Jesus nor the New Testament writers assign a specific amount to give. But here's the truth of the matter. New Testament giving is much stricter than Old Testament giving. Because giving in the New Testament surpasses giving in the Old Testament. We first give our lives to God in the New Testament. We give Him everything. In Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35, it says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." See, when we practice New Testament giving, we go beyond the tithe. You could look at the tithe as the starting point. And I read a great quote from an early writer. It says, "If you suggested tithing to an early church giver, they would look at you with wide eyes and ask, 'After all that Christ has done for me, why would I give so little?'" Think about that. See, the Holy Spirit always changes us to go above and beyond what is the bare minimum. I want to look basically for just a moment at Jesus' relationship to the law. See, the law of Moses represented the shadow or the type that pointed to Jesus, who brought in the reality of what the law was. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. "So let no one judge you in food or drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." In Hebrews 10:1, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offered continually year by year make those who approach perfect." We're going to study the book of Hebrews that Jesus is better. All through the book of Hebrews, He's a better sacrifice, better blood, better high priest. Jesus is better. The law was a shadow of what Jesus was going to fulfill. And Jesus internalized the law. The law of Moses dealt with the fruit of sin or the action of sin. Jesus deals with the root or the inner attitude that motivated the external act. So Moses deals with external acts. Jesus deals with internal attitudes. Let me give you a few examples. Murder. Here's what the law says: do not kill. It's an act. Jesus, on the other hand, said, "Do not hate." An attitude internally. See, in the Old Testament, it's the action, don't kill. The New Testament, attitude, don't hate. Adultery. The Old Testament, do not commit adultery. The New Testament, Jesus takes it and turns it to the heart: do not lust in your heart. Old Testament actions, laws, don't do this. New Testament attitudes of the heart. Retaliation. The Old Testament says an eye for an eye. New Testament, Jesus says turn the other cheek. Action, attitude. Enemies. The Old Testament, several places says, destroy your enemies. Now, most of us want to be New Testament Christians except for that one. I mean, even the disciples wanted to call fire down from heaven on their enemies. But Jesus said, here's the attitude you're supposed to have towards your enemies. Love them, bless them, pray for them. See, in every one of these cases, there is a spiritual principle in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfills and brings forward to the New Testament, saying we should have the attitude of Christ and our actions should be formed by our attitudes. It's the same. Tithing is a 10% Old Testament law. New Testament, the attitude is I give everything I have to God. Here's what Jesus taught about giving. He focused on the principle that stood behind the law, and he internalized the law in his teaching on giving. I'm just going to give you four or five scriptures. Matthew 23:23. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you pay tithe of your mint and your anise and your cumin, but you neglect the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." So Jesus is telling them, you are so rigid in the law that you tithe even the spices in your kitchen, but you forget about faith and mercy and justice. And he said, yeah, it's no problem. You're supposed to do the tithing. You're supposed to give. But don't forget the weightier matters. What I want to say there is don't make giving to God legalistic. That I have to do this to fulfill the law. I have to do this or God's going to beat me over the head or something. Matthew 5:20, Jesus says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." So don't be legalistic. In the New Testament giving, we go beyond what the law requires. Mark 12:41-44. "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury, and he saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which made a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself, and he said unto them, 'Assuredly, I say unto you that this poor widow has put in more than all of those have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood.'" See, in Old Testament, it was 10% law. New Testament, we give sacrificially because we love God. Luke 6:38, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." See, the principle in the New Testament is give, and then it's given back. See, what we want is we want to receive it, have it all pressed down, shaken together, and what's running over, we will give to God. I heard one guy, they said, "How do you give?" 2 or 3 guys were talking, and one guy said, "Well, I draw a circle on the ground, and I stand inside of it, and I throw my money up, and everything that lands in the circle, I give it to God." The other guy said, "Oh, I do that too, and I throw the money up and everything that lands outside the circle I give to God." And the third guy goes, "Oh, I do the same thing, but I don't draw a circle. I just throw all of my money up and everything God catches he can keep." So let me ask you, which one of those typifies the way you give? Acts 20:35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So as I finish this up, I just want to give you some ideas of what New Testament giving is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. I won't take a long time on this, but I just want to give you, there's about 7 or 8 of them. Number one, New Testament giving is to give generously. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. These people gave with a liberal spirit. Chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So here we're saying, God is saying he wants us to give generously. 10%, I believe, is the minimum. That's the starting point. But God wants us to give much more. As a church, we give the first 10% of everything that comes in the offering to missions. Our desire as a church is to get to the place to where we're giving 20, 30, even more percent of our income to world missions. Why? Because we love God and we want to be givers, generous givers. Verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 8 talks about giving sacrificially. For I bear witness that according to their ability, and yes, beyond their ability, they were freely willing. So they gave sacrificially. And also in that scripture, it says that they gave willingly. Don't give out of a grudge, or don't give just because you feel like God is going to beat you up if you don't. We give generously, sacrificially, and willingly. And then in verse 24, it says, therefore show them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. We give out of love. Because of my relationship with my Heavenly Father, I give. Giving is part of our worship. I'm blessed a lot of Fridays when we have the offering time, when I see families going together and giving as a family. Because it's showing that as a family, they are serving God together. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 says that we are to give voluntarily. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that brings us to the next one, give cheerfully. In our life group on Sunday night, I taught them a profound truth. I taught them the definition of the word mullygrubs. How many of you know what a mullygrub is? Anybody over here? Oh, it's because y'all were in the life group Sunday night. Well, I thought everybody knew what a mullygrub was. Where I'm from, that's a very common saying. Oh, he's down in the mullygrubs today. He's down, he's in the dumps. You know that phrase? You know, he's about to hit rock bottom. Well, that's the mullygrubs. So don't give to God with the mullygrubs. Give cheerfully. One of the churches that I used to love to preach in Africa, when it was time for the offering, they'd play a really upbeat song and everybody would come and they would dance to the front and put their offering in the basket, dancing and rejoicing and shouting for God. And lastly, verses 11 and 12 of chapter 9, give thankfully. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Every time I give with a heart of thanksgiving that God has blessed me, that I can give, have something to give back to Him. Next week, Pastor Norman's going to talk more about giving of our time and our talents and those types of things. I just wanted to share today the idea of biblical New Testament giving. First, God wants you to give your life to Him and understand that everything you have belongs to Him. And if He asks you to give it all, just do it in obedience and God will take care of you. If God calls you to do something, do it in obedience because God will take care of you. Amen? Does that mean you're always going to have pockets full of money? No, Paul says, I know how to be happy when I have nothing. I know how to be happy when I have a lot. But I know a lot of people that their contentment is based upon the size of their paycheck. Billy Graham made a statement one time. He says, our worth is not based on how much we have. Our worth is based on how much we give. And I think that's a good statement in the New Testament. In the New Testament era, disciples who had died to self and were completely committed to the cause of Christ gave cheerfully and voluntarily, first of themselves and then of their earthly means. They gave sacrificially more than they could afford to give because the kingdom of God mattered more than the temporal possessions. I want to close with this illustration that I heard just a couple of weeks ago, and it's kind of funny, but it brings the point home. There was a man that was kind of known all of his life as a miser. Very, we would say with the Kuwaiti coins, he could squeeze it so tight he could sink the boat on the back of it. You understand what I'm saying? He was really tight with his money. So he died. He was a believer. He gave some. He died and went to heaven, and St. Peter met him at the pearly gates and walked him down the streets of gold. And here's all these huge mountains or mansions along the streets of gold. And he saw some of the people from his church in these huge mansions. And they keep walking, and the street of gold turns to tarmac, and the houses are a little smaller. And they keep going, and it turns to a gravel lane. Still nice houses, but smaller. And as he continues walking, the gravel lane turned to a dirt footpath. And they got to the very end of it, and there was a dilapidated little cabin. Looked like it had been there for thousands of years in disrepair. And St. Peter looks at him and said, sir, welcome home. And he goes, what's this? I saw all of my friends with these big mansions and I get this little shack at the end of a dirt road. Peter said, well, sir, we took everything you sent ahead. This is all we could afford. Don't lay up treasures on earth where rust and moth can corrupt. But the Bible says, lay up treasures in heaven where neither rust nor moth or anything can corrupt the treasures that we send ahead. I know that's a silly little illustration, but it gets you thinking. You can't take it with you, what's down here. It's only what we send ahead that matters. So I want to challenge you as a body of Christ Don't give because you think God needs it. And don't give even because the church can use the funds to pay for all of this. Give because of your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Give because of your love for Him. Give because we are obedient to this word that talks to us about giving. And I want to pray for each one of you, and then we'll do the benediction. Father, I lift up every person in this room today. Father, regardless of what they were taught or what they think about tithing and giving, Father, help every one of us to understand that we were created in your image and that you are a giving God. You love this world, every one of us, so much that you gave your only Son. Father, help us to be like you and to be givers, first of ourselves to you and then of our possessions, our time, our talents, our energy. Father, help us to give cheerfully and sacrificially, generously. Father, not out of obligation, but out of love, out of a heart full of thankfulness for the way that you have blessed us. And Father, I thank you that as we are faithful with this little insignificant stuff that you call money, that Father, that will show that we are faithful and can be faithful with the true riches of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, if we've been legalistic in our giving, we ask that you would forgive us. Father, speak to us by your Spirit and lead us and guide us by your word in our giving. And Father, I thank you for the people in this church, that they are generous givers. But Father, I know your Holy Spirit is always calling us to a higher level. And Father, help us not to get our eyes on earthly possessions, but Father, to get our eyes focused on heaven and your kingdom and seeing your kingdom established in this earth. And we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name.